It's a new season.
Thank you for joining us for the Change Lives, Changing Lives radio broadcast, a ministry of New Day Christian Church. And remember, if you are ever in our area, please stop by. We'll make you feel right at home. Now, let's join Pastor George Logan for today's message.
Ask you all a question real quick. How many of you, when you were growing up, were made to make up your bed every morning? Like when you had to, it was like, don't know when it started, but you know you had to do it every day. Let me see your hands. Okay. Do you know that your parents were setting you up for success when they had you make up your bed every day? Now why is that? How is success connected to making up your bed? Excuse me? You accomplish something. You accomplish something, and even more so, we do something that we don't necessarily want to do. And that is a very strong ingredient to success, is doing things that you don't want to do. And after a while, you wake up in the morning, you make up your bed, you don't even think about it much, but there's been a muscle built into us to just do the very thing that initially may have moaned and groaned about as a child. May have like, I don't want to do that. And then we end up doing it over and over and over again until I got married. Then I married someone who would do that. No, but I'm serious in the sense that we do it out of an obligation to do it. And so what I want to talk about today is, in continuing in the message on love, the weapon, our greatest weapon is love. I want to talk to you about the obligation. A lot of people, when we talk about love, there's a lot of things that conjure up in their minds concerning love. Most people associate love with a feeling. Like, I feel something, therefore I'm going to do it. I'm moved to do it. Well, what happens when that feeling is not there anymore? What happens when you've lost that what? That loving feeling. What happens when you lose that loving feeling? And a lot of times people lose that loving feeling. Or people, as we've heard people say, I don't love them anymore. I'm not no longer in love, or I've fallen out of love with them. Well, when we talk about love being something other than an emotion, and today we're going to talk about it in that way so that we can learn how to walk in love and detach ourselves from feelings. As a matter of fact, as we learn how to walk in love as an obligation, then what will happen is we'll learn how to walk by faith without the need of a feeling. So another way faith worketh by love is that walking in love will teach you how to walk by faith as well. Because faith requires that we leave our senses behind, our emotions, our feelings, what we see. And the same as it is with walking in love. We have to detach ourselves. The reason a lot of things don't happen is because we don't treat love as an obligation. We don't treat it as an obligation, so we make it relative to what that person's done for me, relative to how I feel that day, relative to, I don't feel like talking to them. I don't feel like smiling. I don't feel like addressing this. I don't feel like it, and therefore it doesn't get done. The more we're able to detach ourselves from feelings, the better able we'll be able to walk by love. And I was going to just start right into the scripture that I wanted to get to, but then I thought about it and I prayed about it this morning, and I went on a walk this morning, and I just began to run through some things in my mind, and it just kind of registered to me that I need to start a little further up in the passage of scripture. So let's turn to chapter 13 of Romans. Romans chapter 13, and I'm reading out of the New Living Translation. We're going to learn how to walk in love, okay? Romans chapter 13, And it seems like what I'm about to read has nothing to do with necessarily our love walk, but I believe it has everything. Matter of fact, I think it is a pretense for what he's trying to get us to understand about love. So Romans chapter 13 in verse 1 says, everyone must submit to the governing authorities. For all authority comes from God, and those in positions of authority have been placed there by God. So anyone who rebels against authority is rebelling against what God has instituted, and they will be punished. For the authorities do not strike fear in people who are doing right, but in those who are doing wrong. Would you like to live without fear of the authorities? Do what is right, and they will honor you. So let's just stop right there. So he's talking about the way we should operate with those who are in positions of authority. Do you always want to do what those who are in authority tell you to do? Have any of you all not wanted to do what your boss or your manager or whoever, have you ever not wanted to do it? Have you ever like in you just, I don't feel like doing it? I mean, if you got a time to be at work and you're supposed to be there at a certain time, how many of you ever felt like you just don't want to be there at that time? And yet, same time, same station, same highway, same interstate, same roads, you go down them the same time every Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, same time, don't even feel like it, go out the house jerking, screaming, hollering, but you're there on time. And you didn't want to be there. But you wanted to get paid, though, didn't you? You sure enough wanted to get paid. So, you know, I got to be there. I've got to put away my feelings so that I can get up and get to work. Honor this obligation. So he's telling us here, honor those who are in authority. Whether you feel like it or not, honor those who are in positions of authority. And that helps us. He's trying to get us to a place where we understand obligations do matter. Okay, let's look at something else here. It says, verse 4 says, the authorities are God's servants sent for your good, but if you are doing wrong, of course you should be afraid, for they have the power to punish you. They are God's servants sent for the very purpose of punishing those who do what is wrong. So you must submit to them, not only to avoid punishment, but also to keep a clear conscience. Now, here's what I want us to see right there, is that when we honor our obligations, our conscience remains clear. When we honor our obligations, our conscience remains clear. How many ever owed somebody something and it messed with your conscience? Like I ain't going to church today because I owe them some money. I owe somebody at church some money. I just don't want to run into them. You know, I want to have I want there to be a situation where we run from things. Our conscience gets to us when we're not doing our obligations. Right? It does. Like this evening when I go home, I'm going to do some extra cleaning because I really won't go. I won't go play some golf tomorrow. So I'm going to make sure some of them obligations that I have that I should be doing on Monday, I take care of so I can go to golf with a clear conscience. Because I done established in my mind where I'm going to be tomorrow. And I know my wife, she's thinking, don't you need to just stay home a little bit? But I'm going to take care of some business, you know. How come? Because I want to be clear in my conscience that I've honored my obligations. All right? Everybody with me? And sometimes our faith doesn't work right because we're not honoring our love obligation. You can say what you want to, but your conscience is a good guide when you're doing right. And it's a good guide to get you on track if you're doing wrong. So our conscience is involved here, and our conscience is involved with the obligations that we keep. Now, here's where it begins to really hone in on these obligations. It says, pay your taxes too. pay your taxes too. For these same reasons, for government workers need to be paid. They are serving God in what they do. How many want to pay taxes? Anybody? Anybody just wake up in the morning and say, I'm looking forward to paying some taxes today. Anyone? No, nobody really wants to pay taxes. But so that what we're supposed to do, that our conscience remains clear, we ought to pay our taxes, right? What's the point he's trying to make here? Is the point that he's just trying to get them to understand that they need to pay taxes? I don't think so. I think he's drilling down on something even more important than that. Listen. They are serving God in what they do. Give to everyone what you owe them. Pay your taxes and government fees to those who collect them, and give respect and honor to those who are in authority. So he's building a case here that they would understand. In other words, I'm trying to teach you something about your love walk, but I'm going to give it to you in a very practical way. I'm giving it to you in ways that you'll understand. Like for us today, how many of you enjoy going and sending them either in the mail or online or taking it to the city, your utility bills? I mean, how many of you love shelling out that $200, $250, $300, $400, however much it is? How many of you just love it? You're just like, hey, I just go in there and give them your money, and you're just smiling. Oh, you know, I just feel it here. No, we ain't smiling. We're not doing anything. We stick it in the mail, or we give it, put it in that little teller, that little air thing that goes, and it goes. And we're not singing, we're not dancing, but we do our obligations, and our conscience remains clear. Right? We've honored our obligation, and our conscience remains clear. It didn't take no feelings. It didn't take a smile. It didn't take anything. It was just doing what I know I need to do. How many have a car note or a house note? Do you wake up and say, I'm so happy. I feel like paying this today. Probably not. I mean, some of y'all might be weird like that, but most of us are not. We won't really feel necessarily like paying a bill. But when we pay that bill, we don't owe no one anything. Everybody get with me? I don't owe anyone anything right now. Don't owe them anything. That don't mean I don't have some things that are still out there hanging. But long as whatever our agreement is, whatever I've obligated myself to, if I honor that, I don't owe no one anything. You don't have to have a clean slate. You don't have to have all your mortgage completely paid and your car note completely paid to be in a position where you owe no one anything. If you have told someone that we'll pay you $500 a month and you honor that obligation, you don't owe anyone anything. Now, that doesn't mean you go out and get tons of debt and all that, you know. But long as you honor your obligation, your heart is clear, isn't it? All right, so here we go. Here we go. Let's get down to the nitty to the gritty. All right. So it says, verse 8 says, owe nothing to anyone. Owe nothing to anyone. In other words, always honor your obligation. Owe no one anything. It's not talking about whether you should be free of debt, like, you know, a mortgage debt, house debt, whatever. It's not talking about that. Now, sometimes we've overextended it, and we thought it meant, oh, we can't have debt. No, that's not what it means. It means if you do have some debt, a car note or a house note, then honor what you've put on that paper. Honor your obligation. Everybody with me? And as long as you're honoring that obligation, you don't owe anyone anything, at least for the next 29 days, 25 days, whatever. You don't owe anyone anything. And there's some freedom in that, isn't it? There's some freedom in knowing I'm good for 30 days. I'm good for 30 days. And the next one, and so on, and so on, and so on, until hopefully one day, then you don't even owe what you owe, because you've already paid everything off. But as long as you're chipping away, as long without feelings, I don't know anyone who gets super fired up about paying a bill. I don't know anyone, but their conscience is clear every day they do that. Now, here's where it comes and affects us as it relates to our walking in love. It says, owe nothing to anyone except one thing that you are to continue being obligated to. Owe no one anything except for your obligation to love one another. Owe no one anything except for your obligation to love one another. Obligating oneself to a course of action. Obligation does not require emotional agreement. Y'all need that's good. Obligation, let me say that one more time. Obligation does not require emotional agreement. It doesn't require that I feel like it. The reason many times we fail in the area of our love walk is we feel like there has to be an attachment of a feeling. Sometimes we don't confront issues because we don't want to a feeling. We feel like we need to feel like it. Well, anything that we have to feel like doing, what happens when the feeling leaves us? You stop doing it. All of us can get fired up about a movement here and a movement there, and we're gonna let, and you know, just get, you know, and it's fall and the leaves are all on the ground and it's, you know, the leaves are changing, and I feel like saying hello to someone today. I just feel good. I just feel alive today. I've been on my walk, and I feel good about saying something. Well, what happens when it's a dreary day? What happens when the sun doesn't come out? What happens when you get some bad news and you just feel bad? And a lot of times we live our lives like that. We don't live it as though a love walk is an obligation. We live it as though it is relative. How I feel that day is how I'm going to treat you. And that's why many times our relationships are so sometimey. Because we don't treat love like an obligation. I have an obligation to speak to you and to say hello to you and to be kind to you and to be gentle towards you and to be humble towards you. Also, I have an obligation to speak the truth in love to you. Well, I feel like it. You know, we have our grandchildren this week, and our grandson, he is so direct. Like this morning, I called him Paco. He says, why you call me Paco? I said, I'm just making up. He said, I don't want you to call me Paco. My name is Kimball. How many of us would be of the same way without feeling like I'm going to offend him if I tell him I don't like to be called that? I mean, just a straight, no regard of if I say this, you know, they might not like it, and I don't want to offend them, da-da-da-da, and so I'm just going to keep on calling me Paco. I don't like Paco, though, but he's going to keep calling me Paco, and I'm going to keep on being quiet about it, and I'm really building up bitterness and resentment in my heart. Because I'm not telling him I don't want to be called Paco. My name is Kimball. And sometimes we allow debts to just stack up. Because we won't deal with them right then and right there. And sometimes it's because of a culture that we've come out of, a culture of passivity. A culture of not confronting things. But it don't happen like that in sports. It doesn't happen like, you two played sports, right? Did your coach say, well, I don't really want to tell you this. I'm going to hold back. No, they don't. They get in your face, do they not? I mean, like, quick-like, don't they? Yeah, and it's no, the culture says it's okay. It's like, they expect it, as a matter of fact. Matter of fact, we actually should want it. Like, man, tell just I know. But what if in the back of our mind we knew that the motivation behind that correction was love? What if we knew, like, man, they told me that because they love me. I gotta tell myself that all the time when Kim confronts me. I'm like, she really loves me. I know she loved me. I know that's why she just kind of did what she said, hurt my feelings. But that's all right. She loves me. She loves me. Yeah, I'm convinced of that. So she can speak to me in ways that would hurt other folks' feelings. But I'm all right with it now over almost 30 years. I don't get hurt so bad no more. I learned it. I just need to applaud myself when I go out and do my yard now. Just, George, you did a good job. Because I've been trying to get her to see the yard, you know, like put some flags up in the yard. Hey, look what George has done. But I'm all right with it because I know the undercurrent of our life is love. She loves me. And when we begin to be convinced of that as a whole in our lives, that man, people come up to me, they tell me stuff, they confront me, they love me. They, you know, it's, I mean, you got to have a little balance there. You can't be just always confronting and never affirming. Affirmation should be the heaviest part of our lives. Should be the heaviest part of our lives. That means that we should notice people and affirm them in it. Like right now, I'm looking at some glasses. I mean, ain't nobody in this room can wear them glasses but this lady. ain't nobody else can wear them, and she's consistent with it. What you see right now is her every day. But we need to affirm in it. Hey, you keep on wearing it because you're the only one that can wear it. Hey, but it looks good on her. But affirm one another. Notice one another as an obligation. Not just because you feel like, not just because the sun is shining, not because, you know, you had your praise and worship, but as an obligation every single day, let's just walk in love. Let's just be humble every day. Let's just be meek every day. Let's just be gentle every day. Let's be kind every day, whether or not we like it or not. See, when we're being served, for instance, let me just put it this way. All of this, let me get down to the part that, let me keep on reading. It says, owe nothing to anyone except the one thing that you can never, ever stop paying on. Like we may pay off the car note, we may pay off the house, we may pay off a whole lot of things, but one thing we'll never be able to pay off is our obligation to love one another. I stay indebted to you. I stay indebted to you. We stay indebted to one another to love. Everyone. It says to love. Now, here's the key. To love one another. Now, this is body talk right here. This is just church. It's not talking about the world right now. We are to love the world. But right now, it's just talking about us-ins, you-ins, we's. Talking about that. It's talking about how we love one another. Talking about his family, how we love one another. Our first obligation is to our family. Did you hear me? Man, we want to go out and save the world and He says in his word, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, he says, without love, the good works that we do is nothing but a clanging cymbal. Like, I just fed all the poor, but you treated me poorly. That's a clanging cymbal. doesn't carry any weight. You ain't smiled with nobody in a long time right in front of you. That's the practicalness of love. Well, that's just not who I, well, then make it who you are. That's just not who I am. I just, you know, I was never raised that way. Well, you got a new nature now. We have new natures now. We don't have to be that person anymore. As a matter of fact, there's evidence that shows whatever you are, if you have carry a whole lot of stuff, it shows up on your face. And some folk just need a facelift. Just need a facelift. Because of all those obligations, unmet obligations. Botox. You don't even have to have Botox. You just start walking in love a little bit. Boy, some of y'all look at me like I'm. He says the way we love one another. I want you to just think right now, how are you loving one another? Are we meeting our obligation to love one another? What kind of energy do you bring to a room? Do you bring that when you come there? Does everything drag down? I mean, it's all of a sudden you come in the room and all of them are like, oh my! I feel like I just ran 3 laps. Because sometimes people are like that. They just carry heaviness. They just carry it. They're just like, man, I'm tired and I ain't even ran. I ain't done anything yet. And then sometimes you can get into a room with someone and they lift you up. They empower you. They recognize you. They affirm you. And so we come together or we're out there, let's make sure that we're meeting our obligation. It's an obligation. It's not a feeling. You don't have to feel like speaking to people to speak to them. You don't have to feel like forgiving to forgive. You meet an obligation. How many of you consistently go to the gym? Like consistent. I'm talking about right here, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Consistently go to 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. Others, don't be ashamed if you don't look like you've been going to the gym. We know it's okay. It's about getting your heart in shape. It's all right. We. Because I'm like, I don't know if I want to tell them I'm going to the gym. It's okay. You're in better shape than what you think you are. But how many of you had times you didn't feel like going to the gym? How many would say, most of the time, I don't feel like going to the gym? And yet you go. But let me ask you this. After you go to the gym, do you feel better? Do you feel better? Do you all feel better? No, okay. These young folk today, boy. You go out and you do something and you feel better. You may be like pulling teeth to get you there, but after you get there, after you honor your obligation, there is a tangible feeling that comes along with it. But it doesn't. The feeling does not precede the action. The action comes first, and then the feeling will follow. Try it. Try it. In every level of love, your love walk, you do it, and you tell me if you don't feel better, even on the hard, tough love. You know, there's tough love out there, right? That you don't really feel like doing because tough love, you know, you don't want to be mistaken. You don't want to, you know, hurt nobody's feelings, offend nobody. You do it and you find out, man, when I did what I knew I was supposed to do in love, I feel better. I can go to bed tonight because I don't owe anyone anything. The opposite of that is true, too. Don't pay it and see how you sleep. Don't do it and see how you sleep. Earn the right to go to bed tonight with a clear conscience. Earn the right. Earn the right. Do what's on your list. Meet your obligations. Meet our obligations, me included. Meet my obligations. And see if you don't have sweet sleep. Let me finish up with this. He says, if you love your neighbor, you will fulfill the requirements of God's law. For the commandment says, you must not commit adultery, you must not murder, you must not steal, you must not covet. These and other such commandments are summed up in this one commandment, love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to others, so love fulfills the requirements of God's law. There's no long list to follow. It's just love. Question we should ask, what does love do here? What would love do in this situation? What would love look like if I to interact with this person? And every day, we have a debt to pay, a debt of love. What sometimes gets me is that I'll allow the feeling to proceed and end up not doing the obligation that I have. But I've been getting to a place where I'm flatlined about everything. When I say that, I mean, I'm getting to a place where I don't allow things, or by the grace of God, not allow things to get me to build it up too big before I do it. You know, just keep everything straight. Just keep it down here. Just like, I'm gonna go deal with this. Let's go do it. You know. Let's not magnify it and make it more than what it is. Let's not make a movie out of it and blow it up, and all of a sudden we've got this whole thing played out in our minds. Just keep everything right there, right there. We had a little thing to do, just finished a leadership course. It was an 8-month leadership course, and we'd go in and we'd stay for about 3 hours once a month. And the very last thing we did this past week was people around our table that were also going through the same leadership were supposed to tell us how they see us. And do they see us, and how do they see us in these 4 different quadrants? And so we all went around and we shared, you know, how we, you know, having been with them for 8 months, how we see different people. So there's this one guy that I had an opportunity to speak to, and I said to him, I said, you are this in the sense that, man, you do a wonderful job of doing this. And I said, but there's a part on this negative over here that you're somewhat dismissive at times. It appears, it seems that way. You're just kind of dismissive. It looks like you don't really care what someone just said. And that person entreated it. They said, you know what? I've been told that before. So that helps me. That I appreciate it. Not, who do you think you are? Telling me. And I was ready for the same. Except he just said to me, "You're just marvelous, wonderful, glorious. You're the man of the hour with more power. You are just the greatest." No, he didn't say all of that. But I would have entreated however they saw me. Because I want to grow. I want to learn. And I know I'm not all there. And I need the people who love me to tell me. And I'm all right with it. I'm all right with it. We should be all right with it, shouldn't we? Because we can do it if we know that they care about us, that they love us. They love me. They love me, man, and they love me enough to tell me that. So wonderful. Both sides of it. Affirming affirmation and at the same time a little piece of bitter fruit every now and then. Just keep us on track, right? Just a little something just to let us know. Because how many of you would say I'm already there? Like I don't need nobody to tell me nothing. Because I'm there. I mean I'm there. And well, give me the anointing oil. We're going to cast out some demons this morning. We're going to cast out the demon of lying, the lying spirit. But it's good. It's good when you have those kind of relationships that where people will just tell you. I remember, and he wouldn't mind me saying this. I remember one year during Crossover Camp. We're about to close. Yeah. During Crossover Camp, and y'all remember this, Tim Lewis. I don't know what, the boy got stuck. He got stuck. Remember, the boy got stuck. He ran them kids to pieces. Back and forth. Y'all remember that, don't you? I mean, he had them running, and it was like a reel going around and around and around. He just couldn't get off of it. It was like him over there puffing, like, "You better get him." And so I called Tim. I didn't hear about it until the end. And I called Tim up, and I said, "Tim, man, listen, man, I think you got stuck, man. I think you missed it, man. You can't be doing that." And at that time, he didn't have his own children. He know better now. But you know what he said? He said, "Yeah, Pastor, you're right." He said, "I appreciate that. Thank you. I did miss it. I missed it." I guarantee you won't do that anymore. But what if we said, "No, we don't want to offend him. We don't want, we need him to come back and do camp again." And no. We've not loved him that well. Let's love well. Y'all with me? Let's love well. Let's love well. Let's notice things. Let's recognize things. And let's share good and let's be able to critique when necessary. And that's what brings about a healthy body. How many of you, and I'm really closing, I really am, you know, but I got a little bit of Baptist in me, so we have about 3 or 4 closings. But how many of you have had some down and out drag outs with siblings that you love? And still you love them, right? And still you love them. That's called a healthy family. Matter of fact, if you can't have confrontation in a family, then it's not healthy. It's really not. It's fragile. I know I use my wife a lot, and I talk about some aspects of our life. I know where the line is. I know where not to go. I butt up right up against the line. I don't go across that line though. But we have some healthy disagreements, and the reason we can have healthy disagreements is because I know she's not going nowhere, and I'm not going anywhere, and I love her. and she can't help but loving me. And therefore, we have a healthy relationship, not because we keep from arguing, but it's because of the arguing that we do at times, not all the time. I mean, we're not one big argument. We affirm one another. But the health is that we are able to go places. We're able to talk about things that are needful and necessary. Amen? Amen. I'm going to confront something right now. What y'all doing? We're about to close now. We almost done. If we needed heat, we would ask. See, that's how you get on somebody, and they still love you. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for our time together. Thank you for teaching us how to walk in love, how to daily, consistently honor our obligation to love. And knowing that we don't have to consider all the other do's and don'ts, but just simply seek to love every day. Allow your love to be expressed in us and through us. We know that you don't hold back affirmation or praise, nor do you hold back on correction. And Lord, we thank you for that. We're the better for it.
You've been listening to the Change Lives, Changing Lives radio broadcast, a ministry of New Day Christian Church. Please visit us at our website at www.newdaycc.com. Again, that's www.newdaycc.com. If this broadcast has been a blessing to you, please tell others. And if you ever get the opportunity, please come visit us at New Day Christian Church.